This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
Lord God, we pause just to give you thanks. Because as we just sang, you are worthy. You are good. Lord God, we know that your love endures forever. We know that your grace is so very sufficient for every burden that we brought into this space with us. This morning, for every problem that we just can't seem to figure out, for every circumstance that we've been praying over, but it has yet not changed, we know that your grace is sufficient for even that. God, we thank you for your mercy, knowing that we don't always do what you would have us to do. We have not always been the servants, the leaders, the disciples that you call us to be, and yet you don't give us what we deserve. So God, for your mercy, we say thank you. For another chance, another day to get it right or as close to right as we can be, God, we say thank you. And for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who levels all the playing fields, Jesus Christ, whose blood is the lens through which you see us, and so you see us as nothing but as righteous, but as worthy, but as your children. God, so help us to see us the way you see us, so that we might do your will, your way, today and every day. God, because you're so good, so gracious, so merciful, so mighty, we pause now praying, standing in the gap for those who need you most, for those we know that are sick in mind or body. God, we lay them before you today for your healing. For those that we know are grieving this day, we lay them before you, oh God, so that you might comfort them. For those that you know are tired, oh God, we lay them before you so that you might breathe a fresh wind of your spirit into their spirit, and they might be willing to run on, press on just a little while longer. God, you're good. That's all we wanted to say. You're good. We love you. We thank you. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Mercy for us. The Bible says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Friends, I invite you to stand if you're able for the reading of God's word. Our text today comes from Philippians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 14. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. And then Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. We'll only read the Philippians text now. You'll hear the Matthew text in the sermon. And we're continuing with our church anniversary theme throughout this month, striving for perfection, fulfilling God's divine mandate. So we'll stay there in different ways all month long. Our theme today is press on until you see the Lord. Hear these words from Philippians 3, beginning with verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to yet have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Tired. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do for a living, whether you're working or learning virtually or in person somewhere, the one thing most folks have in common nowadays is that we're all exhausted. 18 months into a pandemic that has changed life as we know it, and everyone is just a little bit tired. Even if people are just tired of being stuck at home, that counts. Our children are tired. Tired of substitute teachers, also known as parents. Enough said on that before someone gets ISS at home. Our teachers are tired. Tired of our students phoning it in, literally. They're tired of the TikTok challenges born out of this pandemic restlessness. And if you were thinking about it, First Church youth, your pastor loves you. So I advise you to think again. Let those TikTok challenges be for somebody else. Parents are tired of being mom and dad and teacher and chauffeur and chef and everything else. And the constant worry on top of that about children's health and wellness. It doesn't matter who you are. Most folks are tired of pandemic life and just tired in general. It may come as a surprise to you that pastors are tired too. We were already worried about the future of the church based on our weekly worship attendance, or in our case, every other weekly worship attendance. We were already anxious about the church's stability long-term based on members' generosity and tithing. No matter what the pastor preaches or teaches or models about generosity or tithing, we were concerned about the health of the church, when we know that outreach is the lifeblood, how you infuse new energy into the church. We were worried because it's hard to persuade people, even pre-pandemic people, to engage in mission and outreach in the community. It's hard to convince folks that mission is the call of all. Mission is the call of all, not just the assignment of a few. Because of all that and then some, pastors have been tired. And now along comes a pandemic to give people permission to stay home every week, not just every other, to give people this false sense of comfort. It's lulled us into a different type of comfort zone that's hard to break free. And so I get it. You're tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of wondering if we will ever get back to normal. I'm tired of wondering what the new normal will be. I'm tired of wondering if and who will take the word of God seriously, whether it's preached or sang or danced for us. I'm tired of wondering if even one person will let their light shine this week when I offer that benediction to you at the end. I'm tired, but the good news is I'm still pressing on. So one of our key verses in today's bulletin, Galatians 6, tells us, be not weary in well-doing, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's okay to be tired, saints, but we can't tap out. It's okay to be tired, but we cannot give up, because at the proper time, when God says so, a harvest is coming if we don't give up. A harvest is coming to those who walk by faith and not by sight, no matter how slow those steps may be. A harvest is coming to those who keep looking to the hills from where our help comes from. A harvest is coming for those who plant and sow and water and nurture seeds of faith. Today's gospel text also gives us a glimpse of what is coming for those who believe sowing and serving is someone else's job. For those who rarely get their hands in the dirt to do the work of ministry. The text tells us what's coming for those who just don't understand that faith without works is dead. Jesus is teaching in Matthew 25 what happens when we don't take the rest of Galatians 6 to heart. That verse encourages Christians this way, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. How many of you know that we have so many unclaimed opportunities to do good? So many chances to meet a need or to simply speak a word of encouragement even to someone that we don't take advantage of. Let's think about it this way. We had a big game yesterday. Can you imagine that big 6'7", 350-pound tank from Alabama being properly held back and you not running the ball down that field? All your obstacles contained and Spiller not running that ball. Can you imagine a wide open field and A-Chain not doing everything he could to get that touchdown? Can you imagine, let's just think about that when that touchdown that came on the kickoff return. That's a long way. That's different from when you're trying to just, oh, we just got two more yards. I could just stumble my way into the end zone. That's different from 2 yards or even 10 yards. But on that kickoff return, that's the whole field. So just catching that ball and standing there like, I'm too tired for all that. That's a lot to do. That's a lot of yardage for one person to get. I wonder if I'd be able to give the ball to somebody else. I wonder if I could just run for 40 and then fall like they tackled me. Can you imagine not doing all you could to press on? To score. We wouldn't do that in football, but sometimes we do that in our Christian race. Amen. All right. Can you imagine somebody not or hitting a home run and then just standing there because that's too many bases to cover? That's too many bases. I'm tired. I don't want to run all of those. In our case, our faith journey is a team sport. Christ is holding all the linemen back, doing everything it is that we need. Christ has already hit the home run and just ask us to run the bases. Just get out there and take the word to people. Just get out there and let your light shine. Just run the bases and tell everybody about what I have already done. But far too often, we just chilling in the dugout. And I don't know what your dugout looks like or what you're doing in the dugout. It might just be your couch. Lord knows I love my couch. So your dugout just might be your couch. You can't get up and get going on what God would have you to do because you just comfortable. I don't know what you're doing there. Might be a little too much time, talk time, gossiping. Might be a little too much time. Every Sunday morning, my phone tells me how much screen time I had. You had this many hours and that many minutes of screen time last week. You are up by 5%. You are down by 6%. So it might be a little too much screen time, a little too much Facebook, a little too much TikTok, too much IG, and not quite enough time for God. I don't know what's going on in the dugout, but the word from God is, as you have opportunity, and we all have it, do good to all people. Friends, this is how Christ explained the importance of answering that call. Hear these words from Matthew 25, starting with verse 31. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. In other words, those who have followed the commandments, answered the call, followed instructions, been obedient, will be on his right. But those who are a little hard-headed, maybe even hard of heart, the stubborn, the goats, will be on the left. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. In other words, whenever you saw Christ in your neighborhood and served Christ in your neighbor, you were actually serving me, the Lord said. Friends, I wonder if that would make a big difference in how we see and serve as a church in Bryan College Station. If we didn't see people who are homeless or in poverty, but we saw Christ. If we didn't see bad kids and their parents who you remember were also bad kids way back when. If we didn't see that, but we saw Christ, how would we engage those people differently? Our call is to see and serve Christ every single day in our community because we want to be found standing on that right side. Because verse 41 tells us this. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they also will answer, when, Jesus? Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? I told you a few weeks ago, Jesus ain't the problem. Loving God ain't the problem. It's loving God and neighbor. Serving Christ really isn't the problem. It's serving Christ and neighbor. When did we see you and didn't help you? And Jesus replied, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. But the righteous to eternal life. As you have opportunity to do good, even unto the least of these, even unto those who seem far from the Lord, even unto those who you think don't deserve it, as you have the opportunity, do good. And I know someone might be thinking right now of all the good that they do. Well, Pastor, I gave to the food drive. And I even went and volunteered with the kids at the food bank. Pastor, I do Family Promise, but they haven't had it in a while. And I donate to every one of the causes that the United Methodist Women have. That's wonderful. But I wonder if we're willing to take on Paul's perspective today. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I'm not taking away from anything you've ever done or any of the past service. I'm asking you to press on. Like Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friends, are we satisfied servants today? Are we thinking we've done enough? Are we thinking we've done enough because we're tired? Or are we willing to press on? Press on, regardless of the good we've already done. Are we willing to strive for a new level in Christ? Are we willing to press on? Press on until we see the Lord, not just on that day of judgment, as this scripture describes, but until we see the Lord every single day in all of our neighbors around us who we're called to see and to serve. Because that's truly the meaning of pressing on toward perfection. Christian perfection is not to be without mistake or to be without sin. We know that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says it to us this way. Indeed, there is no one on the earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. That settles that. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, preached in his sermon on Christian perfection that no matter how much we have attained, we still need to grow in grace and daily advance in the knowledge and love of God. For Wesley, Christian perfection was to be perfect in the love of God and the love of neighbor. For Christ, Christian perfection was to be perfect in love of God and love of neighbor. That's why when he was asked in the text we read last week, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom? He asked in response, what does the law teach? And like a good lawyer, that young man who was questioning him quoted the law precisely. He said, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And Jesus said, that's true. And there's another commandment just like that, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way, Jesus affirmed. Then he began to teach this young man who our neighbors are. In that same way, I believe Christ speaks through this text today, reminding us of the greatest commandment, reminding us that loving God isn't the whole story, because if we love God, the divine mandate is that we will love our neighbors. The text reminds us that our neighbors are hungry. Our neighbors are sick. They need shelter. They simply need someone to check on them. Who are our neighbors? All the folks we pretend not to see from our comfort zones. Who are our neighbors? Folks who are outside of our doors, waiting to be invited into this community of faith. Folks who wish we would just pray for them right there on the spot instead of promising and forgetting to pray. Or instead of promising and depriving them of the privilege of hearing those words of faith spoken over them. Who are our neighbors? All the folks who may have forgotten or who may never have ever known that they are the light of Christ in this world, that they bear the image of God in this world, folks who just need a little reminder. I know you're tired, but can we just press on? one more day, one more week, seeing and serving Christ everywhere. Can we just press on and refuse to grow weary in doing good? Can we press on until we see the Lord? Yes, on that final day, but every day until then. In the gospel lesson, both sets of those people, the sheep and the goats, said, "Lord, when did we see you?" Friends, it's so easy to miss the servant, the Savior. So easy to miss the Savior. I wonder, do we see Christ present among those in our community who need help, who need encouragement, who need support? And if not, why? Why is it so hard for us to see the children of God as children of God? And please don't tell me anything about how someone else is living. When Ecclesiastes tells us that no one is without sin. So we have to ask, what's wrong with us when we can't see and serve the righteousness of Christ in others? What's wrong with our spiritual vision? And if your spiritual eyesight is good today, and you do see Christ in your neighbors everywhere, I wonder, how are you called to serve? How are we called to serve the Lord in them? And I believe that whatever the Lord whispered in your spirit just now, or whatever God has already been talking to you about for months and weeks, whatever you hear this week, that's the way. That's how God is calling you. That's how God is calling us. And yes, whatever you hear, whatever you heard, it may be hard work. Whatever you hear may take a lot of effort. It may call for energy that you don't feel like you have right now. It's okay to be tired, but don't tap out. Press on until you see the Lord. Press on. And step up even, especially when you see a brother or sister growing weary or wounded. What you mean by that, Pastor? I mean quarterback Haynes King is out for the season. He's out. And the victory of the year was won with the second string quarterback. And then we came to a point in the game when he went into the medical tent that we thought the third string thrower, we see him on the sidelines warming up. Third string, never started a game about to play the number one. First string quarterback is out. Second string has given it all he had, and the third string is over there warming up and ready to go in. Church, I wonder, where is our third string Sunday school teacher? I'm not talking about the person that's always got it that you can count on. Where's the third string Sunday school teacher? Where is the third string trustee, the third string parking lot attendant, the third string ministry leader? Where are they? Our discipleship bench is not deep enough. And that's one reason that folks are weary of well-doing. Folks are tired when it's a ministry of one, a committee of two. People are tired. So we need to work on our discipleship bench. Get you some godly Gatorade so your energy can get up. Find you somebody to work out with in prayer and in scripture study, because this is not our quitting season, church. This is our winning season. If we faint not, this is our winning season if we don't give up. This is our winning season if we press on. If we press on until we see the Lord, if we press on until the power of God falls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.